Mike, turn your games down.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 274 of Games My Mom Found. I am Mike Elberton, and who's riding the star with me tonight?
It is Dominic Chikuki from the Dissonant Ways podcast. I've been on this show many, many times. Here I am yet again. This was my idea.
Yes, it was, unfortunately.
Hi, I'm the Let's Play Princess, Phoebe Stanton. Poyo!
Hey, it's Nathan from the Overblood group. What's up? I've been here once before. Happy to be here again.
Yes, you were back here for Mirror's Edge, which was a while ago, I think, at this point. Yes.
Oh, I was on that episode, yeah. Too.
Yes, you were.
Oh, hey, we're best friends now.
A little reunion.
I do want to play that sequel someday. Someday. I do.
We shall.
Maybe next year. So we are here to talk about a game that I never would have put on the show, but Dominic brought it up. I was like, all right, I need a short game. I need something quick. So we are here to talk about Kirby Air Ride, developed by HAL Laboratory, published by Nintendo. Came out in 2003 for GameCube and never saw the light of day again because Nintendo.
An incredibly important game in the GameCube library in the history of HAL Laboratory. Surprisingly outsized by, like, the fact that it's never been released anywhere else. Like, let's go into it, right? It is the follow-up to Super Smash Bros. Melee. It is the final Kirby game that Masahiro Sakurai directed because he left HAL after making this game because he was tired of making sequels, surprisingly. Pressure to make sequels. Yeah. Amazing how that works out. But this game was also made over, like, 8 years. Starting on the N64 is one of the first games shown off alongside Mario 64. And then it languished and changed, and they had snowboarding at one point, and then they stopped doing that because 1080 was happening, and then here it is on GameCube in this other form, and it's weird. It's also the only home console Kirby game for, like, between 2000 and 2010. This is the only thing that was there. There was Crystal Shards, there was this, and there was Return to Dreamland on Wii. It's a really, really strange happening that this even exists at all, I feel like.
Yeah. So I never played this back in the day. I think I remember people talking about it, but I never bought it. I think it was just higher price than what I wanted to pay at the time. So I never got around to it until a couple weeks ago. Dominic, yeah. what is your history with this game?
This was a game I played probably not when it was coming out. Probably a few years later when, you know, I was like 10 or something and able to explore the GameCube library a little bit more freely because, you know, holiday money was a little more plentiful at that point. And this is a game that I grew up as like, oh, my friends know what this game is, but no one online seems to super care as much. And then as I got older, I realized that this game was like a weird cult hit among people that were like my age. Like, if you're like in your late 20s right now, maybe early 30s, this may have been a game you played quite a bit. This and Jet Set Radio Future seem to be really common kind of nostalgia blasts that you wouldn't expect.
The nostalgia blast, you hit the nail on the head. But for me, you said something great, that when you were getting a little bit older, the idea of it being a cult classic was like kind of swirling around. So I was 10 when this game came out, and I remember getting it day one for the GameCube, not really knowing what it was, but knowing I loved Kirby. And so for me, I did play it obsessively when I was young. It was the first, what I consider I ever played, my first open world game, which it isn't, you know, that's the silliest thing. But that city run, which we'll talk about, I'm sure. But like that idea was for me like, oh, my goodness, I could get off this vehicle and go to another vehicle. It was Grand Theft Auto for me before Grand Theft Auto. So then when people were talking about it later on, like when I was in college, I was like, oh my god, let's play it right now. It was my version of Smash. So it had two kind of like big comeuppances in my life when it first came out, but then again, like you said, that nostalgia factor hit a lot of people, and it was like, oh, let's play it again, and that was really cool. So yeah, that's where my kind of influence and respect for the game comes from.
Yeah, this is my first Kirby game. This was my first like car combat game even. Mm-hmm. Like this is like Twist and Metal for Nintendo, pretty much.
That's in a cool. Way.
I played Twist and Metal 3 a lot. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Pete.
No, I was gonna say I wish I would have played this back then when I was playing Smash Brothers all the time, and I had people over and we played party and we played games. Like this I would have enjoyed it then
for me. Yeah, Phoebe, you were gonna say something. I'm sorry.
Oh no, I was just laughing at the idea of Nintendo Twisted Metal, because my brain always thinks of Vigilante 8 and not this.
I mean, you're not wrong, though. Nintendo Twisted Metal kind of nails it in certain aspects.
Oh, absolutely.
At least City Trial and some of the other modes.
City Trial, for sure. You know, it's funny, though. I have never really played a lot of the other modes. Like, I'm excited to talk about all of them because I finally, just the other week, plugged in the GameCube to be able to play it again. And I remembered, I was like, oh, I never did Top Down. Like, unless it was with friends, you know, and then we were still doing City and Normal Race, but I never did Top Down. So that was kind of a fun little thing to put a couple hours into.
Yeah. Phoebe, I'm curious what your history is. I don't think you said it yet.
My history is a little mixed on this game. I used to play this on the GameCube over an ex-friend's house. And then when I legally acquired the Dolphin emulator, mm-hmm. this was one of the very first games that I downloaded for it. And I played it. I played so much of it that I actually, since it was my school computer, I would bring it to school with me with a few extra controllers because my laptop had a few extra HDMI cords and D cords on it. And we would do split screen multiplayer on my laptop with this game. So, yeah, Bunker Hill Sea Lounge. We just played the hell out of this tournaments and everything.
So you're playing this game right then. Because
I mean, I have spent.
I've never even imagined playing this game on any other platform besides a GameCube. So I'm kind of like, does there feel like there's nostalgia at all? And I don't mean that in like a bad way. Does it hit you like fresh eyes, or you're like, oh, I could see how this would have been enjoyed on GameCube on a CRT screen? Like, how does it hit you?
Are you asking me or Mike?
I'm asking, you said you played it on the Dolphin emulator, correct?
Well, I played on the Dolphin emulator, but over an ex-friend's house, I played it on the GameCube. And like with the Dolphin, okay.
I apologize.
Yeah, no, you're fine. But with the Dolphin emulator, I would spend hours just in City Trial with no timer. I love this game.
That's really cool. Yeah. I mean,
that's awesome.
For me, I have no nostalgia. I also am very much of a gamer that I need a point A to start the game, point B, beat the game. And this is a game that there is no point B exactly, and I don't like when a game tells me there's no point B. I usually don't play it.
I can sympathize with that. I usually feel the same way, which is why I went crazy completing most of this game.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you can go first. You go first.
The only point B that I could think of is when you're unlocking a little block, it'll show you the blocks around it. But that point B is infuriating because you can't see the midpoint at all. You're just trying to like, oh, if I get that next block, maybe I could see the next thing. And it's not, it doesn't give me a sense of completionist that I crave.
And it also very much is like it's a game just meant to just play. I mean, like with the achievement, a lot of them are multiplayer. Like you could feel that these were a lot of stuff where they wanted you to have like a couple friends and you're doing it all at the same time.
Yep.
Yeah, so like this achievement system is really important, though, in the sense that this is 2003. This is pre-360. Achievements are not a standard yet. Nintendo still doesn't even do achievements natively.
No.
And so here is this game with three modes, City Trial, Top Ride, and Air Ride. Each mode has 120 achievements on its own, and it's like a checkerboard thing. You pop one, it shows you around like what the other goals are around that square, and you can kind of go from there. And what I decided to do, the most completionist thing I could think, aside from just beating everything, was let's do 100 in each mode, because you do 100 of them, that unlocks credits. And that's like your 101st achievement is getting 100. You get the 101st.
Yeah. Okay.
So you Mike, I know you had beating DDD as your point B.
Yes.
I didn't even beat DDD, but I still beat 100 achievements in all three modes. I kind of cheated at the end. Those purple squares are really intoxicating.
That's not cheating. That's just using the tools the game gives you.
Correct. Like, correct.
It still is in a way a blemish, because if you complete all 120, the board will turn gold except for those purple squares. They will stay purple.
But some of those achievements are impossible.
You guys are going to have to enlighten me, because even in my childhood, middle phase, and then just the last few days I've been playing it, never have I thought of a purple or seen a purple achievement. What are they?
So
you got
maybe you can explain if you want. Oh, I can do it.
Yeah, I can do it if you want. while you're playing a mode, you can unlock, I want to say, Dominic, is it four hammers?
Hammers?
Yeah, or like four purple squares. Is there a limit of four?
It's like six or seven, or it's more than four.
Okay, so let's say there's an objective and you try as hard as you can and you just can't seem to get it. You can use a purple square, which I think you unlock from some of the achievements.
You do.
Yeah, purple squares are themselves an achievement.
Yeah, so you unlock them. And then let's say, you know, beat this racetrack within 20 seconds and you just can't do it. You can use a purple square and it will just automatically give you the achievement without having to do it.
How do you unlock the purple squares?
Some of the other objectives have purple squares as the award.
What makes them purple? You know what I mean? Are they tougher than regular objectives?
No.
I think it's just random.
Yeah, it's gotcha. Like, you know, some of them will give you a soundtrack selection as a prize. Some of them will give you a new machine as a prize. Some of them also just give you purple squares that you can just kind of cash in when you want to.
I think the reason why I talk about hammers is because the exact same thing is utilized in some of the later Smash games.
Going to say, this feels like Smash. If somebody just tuned in, it would be like, oh, they're talking about Smash right now. Like, level of unlock that Smash.
Yeah, I want to say Brawl is the first one to do it, where there's like a little checkboard and in Smash, it was hammers. Here, it's just purple squares. But some of those objectives in Smash Brothers will give you hammers. And then if there's an objective that you're just struggling with, you can just get it as a freebie without having to do it. But you'll sacrifice one of those.
Right, exactly.
Which makes sense, because that was the next game that Sakurai directed after this.
Because he didn't like doing sequels, right?
But he likes utilizing the same concepts and engines.
Don't have a choice, I don't think, either. When it comes to Smash. I mean,
he got to make Meteos on DS. He got a break for a minute.
Oh yeah,
that's the thing.
I remember that game. No, I mean, like, for me, like, the achievement system was cool, and I was enjoying going after some of them. And it got to a point where I'm like, I can just not really pull these off, and it was a lot of randomness to getting them too. Like, I upped my time in City Ride. So for those who don't know, City Ride's a little where you have anywhere from 3 to 8 minutes where you drive around with three other CPU bots and you're all trying to collect power up and break boxes and kill each other every so often. And then at the end of it, an event happens and you get anywhere from like 1 to 25 or 30 different events. I think it's 25. I did not look this up. I just know that 25 was King Dedede.
And there's also like RPG progression as well, kind of. Yep.
Pick up staff, but you can switch to a different vehicle if you like a different vehicle that spawns throughout the world. But you will, I want to say you lose the stats, but I'm not entirely sure.
You lose some.
Okay.
You can pick them back up, but you do lose some. They fall off you for some reason.
Yeah.
If you're too powerful for the car you're getting on, it doesn't like that.
That's how it works?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. If it's like, oh, we're not used to having this much HP.
I was wondering what triggered it. I didn't really pay attention. I mean, I usually would just find the car that I want. I really fell in love with the scooter in this game, and that became my go-to car.
Oh, wheelie bike?
Yeah.
That was one more and more of recent years.
I think maybe not wheelie bike. I don't know. There's some kind of scooter. There's two scooters, but there was a scooter I used. It's one that you can twirl.
Manual. Let me grab.
There's wheelie bike. There's Rex wheelie. And there's the. I have that. I have it too.
But that was just my go-to vehicle because it. I liked the way it handled. I did play just about every vehicle at different points just to try everything out in this game because I wanted to have the full experience for this episode to give a good review. Right. Hey, but that just became my go-to because it just felt comfortable in my
hell
hands.
Yeah.
Hey,
hell
I've known people who have mastered and used consistently the swerve and the slick stars, and I think those people are fucking freaks.
I want to talk about that specifically.
Oh, please.
Because you know what car you have to get on to really get good times on the races?
The swerve.
The swerve star, baby.
Yeah.
Especially in the factory. The factory, the swerve star is the most OP thing.
Is that the one that doesn't turn unless you're charging?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I hated that car.
But the factory has a lot of straight lanes, so it's just go, and then you'll hit a right corner, so you'll stop halfway through, turn 90 degrees, and then just go.
Yeah.
So the thing about this game, it's, you know, it is a game between Melee and Brawl, so it shares a lot of DNA. The customizability of every mode and, like, every, like, way you can change the stats and, like, the time limit and how long laps are and, like, how many laps you're doing, all that stuff. It's an incredible tool set to kind of do what you want to do and not get too bogged down on what the game wants you to do. Like, yeah, you're going to go and chase after, you know, beat this race in under 20 seconds, right? But there's so many opportunities where it's like, whoa, you know, an achievement's like, hey, finish first 50 times, right? And you can play full races 50 times and, you know, over time unlock that. Or you can set your lap time down to one lap and just race 50 times on one lap and get that achievement a lot easier.
Yeah, this game has so much customization, even to the point of the controls.
Yeah.
You know, you were mentioning like all of the ways that you could get those achievements, but something else that I think like it wasn't lost on me. This was a party game. You know, these achievements were almost made to be accidental in a way, just to be playing with your friends over and over and over again. You would clear a good 20 of these, at least 30 of these, at least just by hanging out. You know what I mean? Like, and then you would go see the board and be like, oh, right, we did that. Oh, cool, we did that. You know, it, for me, at least with my friends, it was more about our personal, like, dude, I want to beat you in the next two. Like, ah, oh, dude, I got you on this next one. Ah, oh, dude, I'm going to kill you in this next one. Like, it was a lot more friendly for me without the achievements, but it just, the achievements always for me came secondary to what I was doing with, you know, the two or three other friends in the room.
And that's understandable. As somebody who grew up an only child and didn't have that many friends by comparison, that was how I had interacted with the game, right? Like, oh man, I bet I could do that race. I bet I could destroy this car with that car. You know, it's kind of the like, well, that seems easy. Can I do it? Am I physically capable of doing it? Right, and sometimes it's like, oh no, maybe not.
That's what made it like. But you know, when I was playing this, I was thinking about like, man, this would have been fun back in the day. Like if I would have had this game for GameCube back then. Like, I would have been like Nathan, like, playing it with a bunch of friends. Like, we did that we played Melee so much back then, just doing the random shit Melee had. Like, I don't even, I haven't touched Melee since the GameCube days, unfortunately. But I don't remember anything about it. But, I mean, like, this is a game that I would have really loved back then had I had that experience.
So how
the fun thing is that the controls, the controls are so simple. Yeah, you know, you just press A and you use the stick. And so I ended up just having four controllers in front of me and doing my best to kind of manhandle all four at points to unlock some of those multiplayer achievements.
That's smart. I never even thought about that.
Because sometimes you need all four, but you don't need all four to actually be going. So you can trap them.
Right. Yeah, just kind of tuck them in the corner.
Or just press A so that they're just constantly charging and not going while your actual one does the work.
Tape a penny. Have you ever done that? Just tape a penny to your controller and then it's
oh, that would have been smart.
The old tape a penny trick.
That's funny. I did not.
I was just using my big ass hands.
I didn't like that this game only has the joystick and the A button. That's it. There's nothing else. That bothered me.
Really?
I wanted I think Mario Kart has more. I haven't played Double Dash in the GameCube days. Like, I haven't touched. I also don't play racing games ever. So, it's just not my style of game. This is actually only the second racing game ever on the show, and only second Kirby game ever on the show, too, which I find that weird, but it is true.
Blasphemous.
You play more.
I do need to play more. I completely agree, but I'm playing with other shit like Kingdom Hearts. So,
yeah, this is a nice respite from that, all that.
Kind of was, yeah. But no, it was too simple for me with the control because I'm used to like some drifting or just other buttons that I have to press that do something. And like in this game, you don't get power. I mean, you get power ups because you suck enemies, but it never really felt super good to me. Like I wanted to be, you know, when it comes to kart racers, I'm really just used to Mario Kart, and that's kind of what I want.
Oh no, you want Wheel Kirby at that point because that increases your speed.
Oh, when you suck enemies and kill them and stuff.
Yeah, Wheel Kirby is the fastest one, but then
Yeah, no, I did do that, but I just didn't. I just found that I was just I didn't like that whole system.
I just imagine just playing the where you have to kill all the enemies in that little field. Just sucking up different enemies and like just going around and like killing like 50, you know, in a round or whatever.
Yeah, the Coliseum one.
Yeah.
Those are okay. The stadium events are cool, how you just would get a random stadium event right after you fit, you know, do your city trial stuff. I mean, that was kind of cool. And I found some cool things where you could break a bunch of, like, I broke a volcano by accident, didn't even realize I could, and ended up getting an achievement for doing it. Like, that was cool.
The city events were a genius idea, by the way. I think that was something that I would have loved to see in more games. Like, you know, the idea of, like, I mean, and you do see it. Like, I play the finals nowadays. and it, you know, multiplayer shooter, and there's events that have low gravity or, you know, asteroids coming down. And that same thing is so reminiscent of what Kirby's Air Ride did just, what, 20 plus years ago. That idea of like, oh, you're cruising around trying to fight your friends and now asteroids are coming, or now you got to go find this golden box for like a secret thing. There's just so much adventure crammed into anywhere from what, 3 to 7 minutes. That was really, really exciting.
Drive into this poor bird's head.
Yeah, I did that once or twice.
You know what? F that bird.
What does Honor Blade do to you besides everything in Superstar?
Everything in Superstar, and I want my treats. I want good stuff. That bird's going to give it up.
Thank God none of these events could layer on top of each other, because imagine if you beat Dynablade and it was also the event where half of the pickups were fake.
Oh, yeah.
That was cool. The first time I didn't understand what was happening, but then I started to like, then once I understood it, I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool, where they were like a little bit different shape, and you could tell if you just looked at it, like, it's not accurate.
Yeah. Or it's just so amazing to see how many different ones they came up with.
Yeah, I get a lot.
Like, oh man, there's a UFO.
There is a lot of charm. UFO.
There's a lot of charm to it. Now, did anybody else have any issues with some of the controls and the turning radius, though, on City Trial? Because for me, I wasn't able to fully explore on the normal star. I needed like something a little bit more airborne. So when I had to get the glider to really feel comfortable learning the city a lot more.
I mean, that's kind of the point, is that, you know, the star you start out with is kind of crappy, but it works. And then you can either upgrade it or get a different one.
All hail the demon star.
I always went for something else too. Demon star.
I love demon
or shadow star. Demon super star. Cool.
Yeah, shadow. That's what I mean.
Just me and my little bike. That was it.
I was like the warp star.
Did you ever unlock Hydra and Dragoon then?
No, unfortunately I didn't. I had a couple of the pieces, but no, I never got it. And I didn't care enough to figure out how to do it.
Dragoon was fun because Dragoon was essentially the wing star, just with a lot more oomph once you got airborne.
Yeah, Hydra's weird.
Never done that one.
Hydra's one of those ones you have to like charge up, I believe, and like let it, like it was like the weird one with like the orange spikes on it, where you had to like charge it up with A, and then like let it drive for a while before you charge it again.
You see, I really hate the charge thing in this, like where you completely slow down. That bothered me.
It's like their version of boosting, except you slow down a bit, except unless you use not the swerve star, but the, I can't think of it, the purple one that makes you slide around.
The slick star.
Slick star. Thank you. I even said it earlier. Yeah, the slick star, you'll continue to move while you're charging, but that's because the entire thing works on ice physics.
Yeah, and you can feel that. I mean, that's also a really good freaking vehicle to use to get records from what I was seeing online.
Oh, yeah. I know people who kick the shit out of this game with that star, and I have no idea how they do it.
You just get, you after a while, you really start to understand the controls of each vehicle. Like, I got really good with the scooter. I knew you could, like, twist the scooter, and it, only because speedruns, they use the scooter. They were using it at a time to get all the, because it was the fastest vehicle in the game, as long as you keep doing that stupid spin thing, but it hurt their thumb, so they wouldn't keep doing it, which makes perfect sense.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
You need, like, a special glove just with a thumb, like, protector.
I mean, that's for Mario Party back in the day.
I mean, that's why they have, in the speedrunning community, that's what I want to talk, if I can get talking correctly. There is a whole feature that they put in for that, it was all tracks, but no duplicate vehicles, so that way they didn't have to keep using the same vehicle over and over again, so they could actually play the game and have more fun. Because they were tight, because the wheelie thing is like the best vehicle for almost all the track, but you have to keep spinning it, and they're like, this is just annoying. And they maxed out the time. They couldn't bring it down anymore. So when they changed it, then it gave it more fun for the speedrunning community.
That's good.
That's interesting. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
So we talked about
I always watch a ton of speedrun stuff before. I try to. You learn a lot about a game.
I'm going to now. You guys have got me really excited to go see how mesmerizing some of these speedrunners are, especially the idea of using the Swerve Star, because like that doesn't make sense to me.
The Swerve Star is specifically the factory, because it's just a bunch of straight paths.
And there is that achievement in factory to never touch the walls.
God.
So you kind of need the Swerve Star.
Yeah.
That's why those purple squares exist.
You see, with save states, I would have been okay. I mean, I did emulate this, obviously. I played on a Steam Deck, but on a Steam Deck, I can't get save states to work on GameCube or PS2, so I have to play it legit, in quotations.
Or
plus, I didn't give a shit to cheat to get these achievements, but I was thinking to myself, damn, I kind of wish I had save states.
Man, if only this game was on the Switch and we could all have it portable at any time.
I think this is going to be perfect on Switch.
It would be.
Give it some online.
Yeah.
Well, I know they probably wouldn't, but I would love another mode or two, maybe. But
yeah, they won't even re-release it.
Ago that racing game came out where you're just rolling down the hill eating everything.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm sorry.
I don't know what
that was. There was a Kirby game a year or two ago on the Switch that is a
racing game
where you're just a ball and you roll down and get bigger the more food you eat. And I thought that was made specifically to be an engine test for a new air ride, and then nothing ever happened.
Well, I mean, Smash Bros. Ultimate is like 5-6 years old now. Who knows what the soccer is working on?
Yeah, I think it's Dream Buffet.
Yeah, it is. 2022, Kirby's Dream Buffet.
That would be the
race
one.
Race across mouth-watering obstacle courses, collecting strawberries to plump up Kirby.
And it really just feels like an engine test for a new air ride or a remake of Air Ride. And then there's just nothing.
I don't think you need a remake. I just wish Switch or Nintendo in general would realize, hey, we got all these great GameCube games. Let's just re-release them and not charge people $50 for the remake or the remaster.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. Oh, at this point, I'm like, just release them, like Wind Waker, Twilight Princess. I mean, this is another game, like, this should just be available for people because people would enjoy it.
Mike, we did get Wind Waker again on the Wii U. And we got the best Zelda
actually,
game on the Switch.
Really good version, by the way.
Skyward Sword.
Yeah, I bought that Skyward Sword for Switch for more than I wanted to pay because I need to play it.
To be fair, we did get Metroid. We did get Metroid.
And Dread is perfect.
Metroid is perfect. I would argue that GameCube probably had the best lineup and releases of games in terms of Nintendo's history, maybe next to the Switch. But that would be my own personal argument.
Oh, so absolutely.
This is something I want to talk about for a moment because I think it's important to give some context to this game's release, right? So this is 2003, the middle of the GameCube life cycle. Now, these days, Nintendo doesn't really do a lot of racing games. They just do Mario Kart. Back in 2003, let's take a look here. This game came out in North America in October of 2003. Before that, in August of 2003, we got F-Zero GX.
Oh, God.
After Kirby, in November of 2003, we got Mario Kart Double Dash. Now, imagine releasing three racing games on the GameCube in 2003 as your first party lineup. How crazy is that?
And two of them have the capabilities to have LAN play.
That was their strategy. Let's do racing games.
Hell, when did there was a GameCube Wave Race? When did that come out?
That was 2001. Oh. It's like a launch title, I'm pretty sure. But like these days, like that's one of those things where it's like, oh, well, Nintendo's releasing Mario Tennis this year. Mario Golf will be next year.
Yeah, remember those days when you
I do.
You know, like,
because we
they're
had
much
Mario
more,
Golf in the house.
They're much more metered about the way they release games and genres on their system. But I think, you know, how prevalent the racing genre was at the time makes a game like this more necessary. Because like, how else is Kirby Air Ride gonna stand apart from like Mario Kart and F-Zero?
And they needed all those options because everybody else had something. Xbox was going strong with Project Gotham Racing. The PlayStation 2 and Xbox had Burnout.
I was going to say Burnout Times were also going strong. Yeah, those arcade sim racers.
Gran Turismo, really Test Drive was still existent at this time.
I think in terms of innovation, Nintendo absolutely took the award during that time, because between, like you said, Kirby's Air Ride, Mario Kart Double Dash, which people still revere today, and F-Zero with that soundtrack, I mean, game over. I truly do think that Nintendo had a little bit more bravery to step outside the box back then and do some really fun stuff between party games and racing games to, like, I don't know, solidify their place with, like, a good idea of, oh, these are party games. These
was the GameCube successful? I can't remember.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, yes and no. GameCube did not sell. It was like the worst selling of the three big consoles.
Okay, that's what I thought. Because I remember the games are also the most expensive at EB Games when I used to go there. Like, I could buy the same game for PS2 for like a couple bucks cheaper than if I bought the GameCube version. I remember that. Like, I was 15-year-old Mike. Like, this is stupid.
That hasn't changed.
Like, the GameCube was their Wii U before the Wii U.
I really think that Nintendo had kind of two sides to one coin, right? Because in one sense, with their limited, like, once the next console came out, you weren't going to be playing GameCube, which was a disadvantage. But the advantage is now you got a lot of people with GameCubes. And to me, it was the most portable console back then. It had a handle on the actual console.
I love that. I mean,
you could take it over to any friend's house. I remember putting my GameCube in my suitcase when I went to my grandparents' house in Ohio. And I popped it open, and I was the coolest kid all of a sudden between all of my cousins. So, like, now we're playing GameCube. And this is when I think the Wii U was out. You know, it didn't matter because I still had my GameCube that I could just put in a bag and take with me. It was that forever portable console. And if I just had Mario Kart Double Dash and Kirby Air Ride, like, it was game over. And then Smash, like, even better. So Nintendo kind of solidified themselves as that retro console coolness. And that's where I think you said the nostalgia thing and the reset came in later on. But that, to me, was Nintendo's big saving grace was... It was special. It was the GameCube.
Actually, I'm just realizing, too, I just said that we had August, October, November was all these three racing games. You know what came in December?
What?
1080 Avalanche.
Holy, the other big land racing game for the GameCube. They're all yes. back to back.
Give me my cool snowboarding game. Yes.
So, I mean, like, I would love to meet the Nintendo strategy and see what, if that was like today, how wild that would be to like, just to experience like, man, we're going to do all these weird sports games and racing games. And like, it's so interesting that like the GameCube library was like this. It'd be like,
brave.
It'd be like if they said, okay, it's kind of like during the Wii U era when all franchises were like 2D platformers again, because you had your Mario, we went back to 2D, you had your Yoshi 2D game. Kirby went back to side-scrolling. And for a minute, that seemed to be, like, all they were doing.
I don't want to say it got boring, but, like, I keep using the term safe. Like, I feel like Nintendo just wanted to make sure that they were doing great hits consistently. So they stopped being brave. I wonder what game made them want to be safe.
Well, I wonder if there's, like, a correlation, because, like, the GameCube and the Wii obviously were less successful. And so, like, they seem to be doing safer options in both circumstances, but they also were doing like more outside the box things too. Like, let's publish Bayonetta. Let's publish Geist.
I like Geist.
I was about to say, don't you shit talk Geist.
I mean, I think a lot of it comes down to if you're the underdog, you have to be more experimental, where when you're on top, you don't have to be. Like on the Wii, they were on top with the Wii at the time when they started it.
That's fair.
Where the GameCube, they weren't on top, and then Wii U, they're on the fucking bottom, and then you get the Switch, because they're forced to innovate and do something new.
Right, and then the Switch this time seems to get the best of both worlds, where they are continuing to innovate with their new games and do different things, but also, you get Bayonetta 3.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, on the GameCube, we got PNO3, so...
That was a Capcom joint.
Yeah.
I have a copy of that behind me. I want to cover that game on this podcast or a mini because it's like a 3-hour playthrough. So
is it what only, is it? Only that
Why
short?
Why do I not know what this is?
I will. I don't want to get
on the Capcom 4 or 5.
5, yeah. Well, 4 of them only came out though.
Yes, but it's still a Capcom 5. We just didn't get all 5.
Got moved to the PlayStation and then got a remake like 8 times.
It's not a. No, it's not a good, it's a very short game. I knew a guy who bought it for like $50 when the day it came out and beat it that evening and was furious.
That's amazing.
It was high school. So we didn't, you know, not like we have, you know, but he was like so excited and he was a big GameCube guy and he bought it and he was just furious because the game is just, it's a fun game. I bought it for like probably $5 at EB Games at some point. I'm like, hey, this is great, you know, but. If you're paying full price, my condolences.
RIP.
I mean, with Kirby Air Ride, like, between the three modes, like, I mean, you, like, the racing mode, I at first I was just playing in the racing mode. I was just doing normal races because I'm like, okay, I'm going to try to beat the game in quotation, so I'm just going to do races and see what happens. And I constantly kept losing and losing and losing, which was not making my opinion of this game very high of it. But then I started to get the hang of it, and I started to get much better. And I still lost a lot of races, but I started to win more and started to really kind of understand this game, and that it's not your regular, in my opinion, regular kart racer.
And yeah, it's not.
No, and it took me a little bit to get the hang of that. And then I did enjoy it, like, I mean, the fact that I couldn't beat this game, and I was not going for all those achievements because that just wasn't happening. But like, kind of what my rule of thumb was. So the way I do this show is I always have give myself about a week to beat a game, and I beat a game out 2 weeks ahead of time. Usually try to. Some games hold me back. But like, so I was like, okay, every day I'm just going to play this game during my downtime, and I'm just going to screw around, do races, and just play like I would have back in the day, because I can't beat it exactly, even though I beat King DD, and that counts in my little world. But and I was just having fun. I was just playing the game, running around the city ride, didn't even give a shit about the achievements or any goals. I just wanted to experience much of the game as I could. Every so often, I'd get stupid and look up achievement, go, I'm going to try for this. I'm going to go grab 10 weight stickers. And I'm like, yeah, don't do that. I'm like, just play the game.
You see, that's the stuff I would go for, because it's so easy seeming.
Yeah, it didn't. It seemed easy, but I went just for weight stickers and never got them. So it wasn't that easy. I couldn't get some of those achievements. They were difficult for me.
Fair.
But I like it. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, if you were playing this multiplayer with friends, like, I could have seen this being a blast, like, back in the day. Like, you know, this would have been the game with Smash Brothers that would have just been around that we played. I mean, I don't think it
the game sounds stressful sometimes for me. I'm hearing you guys, and I'm like, oh, my God, achievements like that.
Well, you were competing against friends. So,
right.
I mean, you guys were playing it the way that the game is meant to play, but I mean, it was just cool having those different modes. You had the mini, what was the middle mode? Top ride. Top ride is just,
top ride,
in my opinion, stupid, but it's cool that it's there.
It's the easiest one to get achievements in.
I hated it.
Did anybody have to change the control scheme to make sure, or the, what was it? There's like the blue bike or the blue ride and the red ride. I can never do the red ride. I always had to do the blue one. Because of the directional controls.
I was going to say, one is directional controls, and one of them is top-down tank controls.
I did the
and I could not do the
down tank.
I did the one where it's like, wherever you point is where you're going.
Insane. I can do either way.
I think that's the blue one. Oh, yeah. God, you guys are clinically insane.
I take the red pill and the blue pill.
Because it actually ends up being a lot easier, because it's just, you just got to rely on where you're pointing the stick is where you're going. And so it becomes, you know, once you get used to that, it becomes a lot easier to, like, maneuver around corners and slingshot yourself.
That's fair. You don't have to wait to turn. You just literally point and go.
And, you know, I really ended up enjoying, like, the top-down stuff because, A, it reminded me of, like, really old racers that I don't get to enjoy very much. But then it's, like, learning how to, like, maneuver with that and deal with that is so different than doing air ride and city trial.
Yeah.
That, like, it's, like, at that point, for those achievements, it's just do the mode, like play it a bunch, do 50 races on the one map. It's like, okay, set it to one lap, or set it to like super easy mode or something like that, wherever I can get around and cut corners.
Yeah, I mean, you know, use the game setting to your advantage and time, but it's just one of those things where I just kept thinking about, like, man, this would have been like, had this been a game I had for GameCube when friends are coming over, and like, this was that game. And I'm completely now a solo gamer. I don't really interact with people except for this podcast. Like, you know, none of that is for me. And the fact that this is locked to an emulator makes it a little harder, too. But again, why is this not on Switch? Like, with online capability, people would buy this.
Oh, we'd buy the hell out of it.
It'd be perfect to release now.
Maybe they're, like, waiting for the Switch, too. Put the GameCube
emulator. We're in that last year of, like, Switch stuff. Like, we need just those random games that keep us going.
Have they announced the Switch 2 yet?
Not officially, but we all know it's coming.
Yeah. If they go back to a normal console situation, nobody's going to be happy, because the Switch is such a perfect console for what it is.
I don't think they'll go back.
I don't think they will. I think the Switch has been so successful for them as the handheld, you know, TV. The way it is, like, they're not gonna change what they're doing. I don't see them trying to mimic Sony and Microsoft, because they don't need to.
I mean, the Switch is very close to becoming the best-selling console ever.
Yeah, they're not gonna.
Is it really getting close to the PS2?
Yes.
Wow.
I believe it's the most portable console I've ever seen.
I know people love the Switch. I'm not a big Switch guy, but I'm a Steam Deck guy, so it's close enough at this point.
So,
Mike, did you have a favorite course at all, by any chance?
Like, none.
Because you said that you did Air Ride a lot. None.
Not really. I don't think so. I didn't really like most of the courses. I didn't like the courses. Okay. I'm going to go on a rant now. I think all the courses are boring. I think they're annoying. Okay. I did not like a lot of the racing in this game. I just played it because I wanted to play it, and it was my game of the week, and there's a lot of... I have downtime in my days, so, like, I need... So, I was like... I have this show where I'm like, I have to play the game. I have no editing to do because I'm all caught up. I guess I'll just race around a career ride. It wasn't like it was like I'm having so much fun. It was more of like, what else? It had a purpose to do it, so I'm going to do this. But no, it wasn't exactly fun. Also, this game had no sound.
I appreciate you doing it anyway.
This game had no sound for me for some reason most of the time. It's weird.
Oh, really? That soundtrack and...
I didn't hear nothing. Wow. I had it muted all the
time. Soundtrack's really nice. Like, it's not amazing, but it works, and it's nice.
You know, like music. Muted, like, I can't have... Like, unless it's an old game, like, I'm playing Secret of Mana for the show next week, and that music's on all the time because it's a childhood game. But if it's not a childhood game, the music a lot of times will get muted when I have the option. Like, right. I don't know why I do that, but I just like, if it isn't that nostalgia part of my brain, music's like, already accumulated too much music. No interest. I don't know.
So, I have the numbers here. The Switch is currently announced to have sold 139 million or 139.36 million. So, the DS is above that at 154.02 million, and then the PS2 is about 155 million.
Wow.
Nice.
So, if you look at 139 million, that's about 140. 140 means that they essentially sold 20 million Switches a year since the first year it came out.
That's awesome. Good.
I'm glad.
So,
that it's successful for them, and I'm glad people love the Switch. I'm a cheap gamer, and one of the things that I love doing was buying cheap games, and Switch is like, no, you're just going to buy 10 games, but they're all going to be expensive. But I'm like, no, it's not what I do. I buy games and don't play them. So
fair enough. But I mean, if you think about it, next year, even if the Switch slows down and it doesn't get to 160 million quite yet, it'll still be within the DS PS2 range by the end of the year, I'm sure.
It will,
and then the Switch 2 will come out.
Yeah, it's going to go down in history as one of the best-selling consoles and probably one of the best consoles for Nintendo ever.
And it'd be silly for them to kill it right away when the Switch 2 happens because they could just wait until it gets to that 160 million mark.
They won't kill it. They're going to there's going to be things that I think keep supporting it. Because, I mean, hell, just lower the price at that point and you'll sell Switches still. But that'd be a loss, so that won't happen. Okay, never mind.
Nintendo has never done that. Nintendo consistently they really do kill support. It's sad. That's why the GameCube has such a longevity because there's such a nostalgia with it, and it was such a good console to have and still have.
And so many games that were on the GameCube are also locked to the GameCube.
Correct.
But a lot are when you look at PS2 games, a lot of PS2 games have gotten re-released in some form. I mean, there's still a ton that are locked, obviously, but stuff gets re-released. Stuff like Sony and other companies are better about it. Nintendo's like, no, we're just gonna leave it where it was. We don't care.
Which is such a shame. I think it's the biggest loss for Nintendo. But what are we gonna do? What are you gonna do?
There were times where Nintendo was kinder to their systems. The NES and SNES had support long after the successors came out. The GBA and DS existed side by side for a while.
That is fair. And I missed the days of... I didn't know that either. Yeah. No, go ahead.
As I said, the last Super Nintendo game is 98. So it lasted for...
In North America, I believe 2000 in Japan.
Oh, wow.
I had no idea. Different time, though.
I mean, the Wii only just ended a year or two ago, but it was all Just Dance.
Yeah.
Because, man, retirement homes really love the Wii.
You know, Phoebe, you are not wrong. The place I worked at had a Wii. It wasn't hooked up because they wanted me to do it, and I was like, I'll get to it. Then they fired me, so I never got to it.
Well, that was the whole point. They were releasing Just Dance pretty much for the elderly because it was still a workout and something for them to do physically.
They don't want to work out. If you worked, I can tell you that as a guy who's worked in assisted living, they don't want to work out. When it's time to do the exercise, people don't show up. My wife is an activities director, and I never asked her, but I know the place that I worked at, people didn't show up. Like, I remember part of my job would be kind of I'd move around the community when things were slow and check on things and talk to residents. And I remember seeing the activity director we had there. She's just sitting there. I'm like, no one showed up. She's like, nope. And she just has the video playing, just sitting there on her phone, like waiting. And nobody came. By the way, they knew. They just didn't like they didn't want to exercise. So, but yes, it's just funny to me. I had to. You gave me an option to rant, so I had to take it.
You take it.
The thing I have two Wiis in this house. I don't use them, and I will probably never plug them in again in my life. But I do have two of them.
I'm surprised you didn't make a two Wiis bitch joke.
Yeah, I didn't think about it. Damn it. I have one Wii.
I have like two or three, I think.
One I bought a long time ago. One somebody gave me when he was moving. He's like, I don't want this. I'm like, sure. And now I'm like, why do I have this? But. Yeah, but anyway, I still have the DJ Hero turntable that I've never used, but couldn't get myself to just get rid of it. So,
oh, I want that.
Don't do it.
I want the DJ Hero turntable so badly again. That was one of my favorite games. DJ Hero 1 was, I was obsessed with that game.
It's not bad. It's just half the time it doesn't seem responsive.
Correct. You are absolutely correct. And I can't imagine how a 15-year-old turntable would be responsive now. But you know what? Gosh darn it.
It's never really been used and just sitting collecting dust for the last. Yeah, probably not very good.
Probably not very good, my guy.
It does work. I moved it before. It moves.
All right, DJ turntable, but for Kirby's Air Ride. Go.
Oh, that'd be a really cool. Oh, man, that's like doing the whole Guitar Hero Dark Souls thing.
Yeah, I mean, Kirby's Air Ride.
Kirby's Air Ride, I mean, it had fun. Like, I mean, had I, again, as I've said before, had I just approached this at the right time, it was just so hard for me to play a game with no nostalgic and a party game with no party. So. I mean, that was my issue. The King Dedede fight, which I consider beating the game in quotations for me at least, because I wanted to put it on my chart that I keep track of all the games I beat. That was cool, but very, very difficult. It took me a while to get it because, like, you have a time limit and he can do incredible amounts of damage to you if you get caught up in his face. And I didn't realize that you always hit him from the back because you hit him from the front. Even if you're doing your attack, that's when he beats the shit out of you just instantly. I mean, there's no, like, he doesn't make any movement or gestures. He just runs into you and you take a ton of damage.
He is the strongest character in the game.
I mean, he was a bitch to beat. Like, I thought it was going to be a race when I had read something about King Dedede, and it's a fight, essentially. And it's really weird because you're just in a square room. He drives around the room. You have a minute and 30, and you have to pick up. But you also have to get lucky. You have to get lucky that the right power-ups drop so you can actually take his health down because he has a ton of health. You need the spike, the needles or the sword were the two that you were that you want to get because they did the most damage. Like, I watched a guy do it on YouTube. He literally just drove behind him, tap A, like, rapidly fast and killed him in seconds.
Wow.
I tried that, could not pull it off, but I did beat him.
I mean, I was over there setting up bombs for him to roll over. I was, you know, doing the rockets. I was doing the throwing bombs.
Thunder, you don't have time.
Kirby, just to waggle your joystick 50 times. Get the full
you don't
charge.
Have time for any of that, unfortunately. Like, the only way to really do it is, like, the way I did it with the needles. Like, you just have to get the needles of the sword and get behind him and tap A as fast as you can. And that's how you really put damage on him.
I mean, Needle Kirby is always one of the better power-ups, no matter what game it's in.
Okay, I can't really talk. I've only played three other Kirby games in my life. Kirby's Adventure once, and Kirby's Dream Land 1 and 2. That's it.
Kirby's Adventure, I'm not sure when.
I agree that Kirby's sucking thing is just the coolest way to acquire a power-up.
It is.
I love the way that Kirby just does that huge suck, and then all of a sudden, and now we got a new power. It's just the neatest moving. Like, I love Kirby as a character.
And like in City Trial, you could get off your car. And when I got off my car and I'm hopping around as Kirby, I remember thinking to myself, why isn't there a Kirby game on GameCube?
Yeah,
like another Kirby game.
Because I got pushed back to the Wii.
Yeah, it was supposed to be Return to Dreamland, but they took forever to make it.
I don't think I ever played. I don't even know what Return to Dreamland even is for the Wii.
It's fucking great is what it is.
That is a game and they did release on Switch again.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. With an epilogue chapter, too.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And if you count Kirby having a plot, Return of Dreamland is actually an important one.
He doesn't really have a plot.
Return to Dreamland.
I was wrong. I was wrong earlier in that Return to Dreamland was the first console Wii Kirby game. It was actually Epic Yarn.
Oh!
I forgot about Epic Yarn.
I love Epic Yarn, too.
That's a Wii game,
I love Epic Yarn. Yeah.
Epic Yarn is good.
It's also on 3DS, and it's really good on 3DS.
They should port it to the Switch.
That's another one that should be on Switch, absolutely.
In the words of Emmanuel, put it on the Switch!
Kirby, I mean, and the Forgotten...
You can play it with the Joy-Cons.
Kirby and the Forgotten Land is also a very good Kirby game, if anybody has not played that one for the Switch.
I have 100% of it.
It's very, very, very good.
I don't know,
Epic Yarn seemed like a really big deal. Like, after Epic Yarn came out, there was like three Kirby games.
I remember, I bought Kirby games. Like, I bought a DS Kirby game, Triple Action or something.
Oh, is that Triple Deluxe?
Yeah, Triple Deluxe.
You should play Triple Deluxe.
Never played it, but I bought it because it was cheap. I got it on clearance or something.
If you want one of the most insane destructions of a boss, you should play that game.
The Robotron one was almost on this podcast before.
Robobot?
Yeah.
But I remember I reviewed Battle Royale. That was an interesting game.
Oh, you opened up something I wanted to say. So people were saying that Kirby's like the City Trial is kind of like the first Battle Royale we got.
Kind of.
First idea of that.
I mean, but that goes back to, it's kind of like Twisted Metal, and Twisted Metal is kind of a Battle Royale.
Yeah, good point. You know, I forget Twisted Metal exists, even though we talked about it earlier in this conversation.
That's because Sony likes to pretend that it doesn't exist.
I'm okay with that.
Been 11 years since
would Bomberman be considered a battle royale?
Which game?
Bomberman.
I wouldn't say the original, but stuff like Super Mario Man 5, absolutely, because they give you multiple lives at that point.
Oh, and there are speed runs of people just trying to get all 120 achievements, by the way, like City Trial and stuff.
Oh my god.
Okay, wait, so it's 100% but subdivided into each mode?
Yes.
No, somebody needs to do a speed run of all 360.
Objectives. I'm sure somebody has. Okay, like, I'm not going on speed run, but like, speedrunners will always find some different category, and somebody will complete it just because. Then they can, you know, especially if no one else is doing it, they'll complete it. It's always
happening. I would love to see how many you can get. How many can you get in one city trial thing? I would love to know.
A lot. I'm watching this guy, and he gets a bunch, but he also has, there's no computer players, I just realized, because 2, 3, and 4 are all just sitting in one spot.
Yeah, I think I've done 7 in one.
He just put them all in one place for him to do what he wanted.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just imagine, like,
yep, he's gonna murder them. That's why he put them there.
Yeah. I just imagine, like, doing like 15 at once. How amazing that would feel to have to just pop like 15 or 20.
Yeah, it always did feel good when a couple pop. What kind of broke me is I thought there was only 120 in the game. Then I realized it was 120 for each mode. That's kind of when I was like, yeah, fuck this. That's too much.
Well, just wasn't. I gave you a point B. You just decided it was too hard to do the point B.
I made my own point B. The game didn't really give me a point B. I mean, completing, that's more completionist. That's a point C.
Yeah.
And I'm not
a completionist. Is doing all achievements.
You know, so I'm not a completionist.
That's okay, Mike. It's okay.
I mean, a completionist would be doing everything.
And giving away donations. Don't forget that part. That's a very important part of it.
Yeah, there you go. There's,
we're not giving away donations. Keeping donations. Sorry, you keep the donations.
We're not going to have that argument. Never mind.
I got to make that joke.
I know. That's such a scummy thing to do.
Oh, yeah. That's why I think you told me. I stopped watching the videos.
One of the many people that I just never watched.
I was in with him and like the sure first enough, 5 episodes and thought he would be one of the good ones. Joke's on me.
Fame is not good for most people in general, and I think YouTubers are less likely to have good things. I mean, there's a whole series I found that I like watching where a guy will talk about people's downfalls on YouTube, and one of them I haven't listened to, but I know you guys will probably know the guy Boogie or something.
Oh yeah.
Everyone's talking about him on Twitter right now.
Yeah, because he's stupid.
He said a new thing. It's the worst one yet.
I mean,
like,
I don't get people. Like, I run up.
I just, I just thought about the girlfriend stuff. So how much worse could it get?
I will type it in the chat.
See, this is like in this show, if people listen to the show a lot, I never say, I mean, one, I don't think it, but I would never say racist things. I won't even make a joke about it because I don't want anything to be like existing in the ether that could be like, because I'm not that person. So it's like, people are just stupid. If I was ever like that famous, like some of these YouTubers, I'd be so fucking careful on social media. Like, I'm already careful because jobs and everything else will use it against you if you're stupid. Like, I don't get it. Right. Like, if you're famous, don't post shit that you know is going to be hated by the majority of people. Just don't do that.
Like, just calm down, maybe. Like, maybe don't post. Like,
just,
you don't have to be.
Just have your secret porn Instagram, but don't post anything racist.
It's not that hard. Like, people are stupid. Like Gina Carano, she's had a whole thing recently where she's trying to sue Disney. It's like, you posted dumb shit and broke a contract that, you know, with like, you, yeah, you did it to yourself. So, like, hey, I get it, but a job can fire you for any reason, unfortunately. Like,
here's a question that I want to go touch on.
Oh, boy.
Kirby. What actor would you want to play Kirby in a movie?
Nobody.
Chris Pratt.
Danny DeVito.
I don't want a live. I do never, never, never want a live action Kirby. Never.
You don't want a live
Danny
action
DeVito.
Kirby? Come no. on, Danny DeVito.
Animated
Kirby?
Sure.
Oh no, who voiced Kirby in There Will Be Brawl? Hold on.
Oh no, not There Will Be Brawl.
No live action Kirby, fine, but I guess to voice Kirby then, fine. I do think Danny DeVito still.
We didn't get him as Detective Pikachu. We can still make this right.
So anyway, I start swallowing.
May I offer you an egg in this trying time? And then he just sucks it in. Becomes an egg. Let's go. I'm the trash man. And he just sucks it all up.
It is worth mentioning, there was a Kirby anime around the time Air Ride came out.
What?
That is
Kirby
right
back at you.
Right
back
at you. In the back of the instruction booklet for Kirby's Air Ride. I'm opening it right now. It says, blasting in on video and DVD. Kirby's Egg-cellent Adventure. Kirby right back at ya. Also okay. Features a Kirby Air Ride video strategy guide.
That's awesome.
Ran for 100 episodes. Wow.
I found it. We need Matthew Mercer to play Kirby again.
Oh, Matt Mercer as Kirby would be great.
Hey, in There Will Be Brawl, he plays Kirby and Ganon. He just played Ganon officially for Nintendo. We might as well complete the series.
I mean,
let's go. Give me Critical Role in my Kirby every day. I want it.
Taliesin Jaffe as Meta Knight would be amazing.
In the anime, it is Amy Birnbaum for the English dub.
But that's all you have to do is just go, Poyo!
Right, but this is also the same actor as Taya Gardner.
Oh, wow.
And Max from Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire.
That means... Oh, no, wait, that's the kid with the glasses. I was going to say, that means nothing to me, but Sally, I know what that
it's
is.
It's May's little brother.
I don't play or watch Pokemon. I stopped watching at Johto and I stopped playing at Yellow.
Will you accept Charmy B and Sonic X instead?
Yes, I will. Yes, I will. I will never stop being a Sonic person.
So yeah, we could get the voice of Charmy B to be Kirby again.
I mean, I'd be fine with an animated movie. After the Mario Brothers movie was that movie's fun. Like, I'm completely all right with more animated Nintendo character movies.
I would be too. Kirby Air Ride the movie. Let's go.
I don't want it to be 3D though. Just make it a 2D thing.
Oh, classic animation?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
That would be really fun.
Anything else you guys want to say about Kirby about Air Ride that we still haven't mentioned?
Nathan.
It was.
Yes.
Phoebe. You it asked. Was, goddammit.
Phoebe, go ahead.
You asked Mike what his favorite track was. So what mm-hmm. is everybody else's favorite track?
Now that Mike has answered, I'm like, dang, he's right. Like, can't feel the same. Like, I was more just trying to get a conversation, but like, I'm looking through the pamphlet, I'm trying to remember the differences in tracks. I was like, oh, there's the waterfall level, but wait, wasn't that also the jungle level? Oh,
well, I was wasn't gonna say, that also? I like the waterfall level the most because it has the three different entrances that have different pathings.
Yeah, but then one time I missed the entrance and I like landed in between the two and I fell and I was like, fuck this game. Sorry.
You can swear.
Oh, good. Fuck this game.
I kind of like Checker Knights.
I remember the level.
I know the one, what level you're talking about and I like that one too.
It's the one where you can break the rocks and go through the rocks if you know to do that.
Yeah.
Because that was one I did not notice until like late in trying to get achievements. It's like, oh, you can break the rocks.
Go, go, go.
So I like that one. I also actually really like the top ride stuff because that was really simple and easy to maneuver in.
It really annoyed me.
I thought those were nice. It better than the air ride courses because it was just so simple to maneuver around. But if we're putting everything on the same level, City Trial is the best course.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. I think when I was a kid too, City Trial is all we really did was just like ride around in the city at the end of the
yeah.
day. Yeah,
I'm glad I had this opportunity to like do all three because I only had done City Trial and a handful of races before.
Right.
And like sitting down with all the modes now, it's like, oh, City Trial really is only part of the experience. Like it's with the other modes that you actually understand how to, like, utilize all the machines and, like, figure out which ones you're actually good with and which ones actually work outside of that one context you're so used to.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense why Swerve Star is actually interesting.
All the vehicles are, much as I disliked a lot of them, are very interesting and are very good to give you options.
It had the most variation in terms of kart racing that I've seen. Like, I experienced way more variation with these vehicles than I did with, like, the Mario Karts of those days.
Yeah, that's the big thing, too, is I would love another racer that had such variation in cars.
Same. Mario Kart did it sort of nowadays with the bikes versus vehicles, but even still, it's nowhere near.
They would never be bold enough to make a Slick Star equivalent.
No.
No.
It wouldn't alienate their main racer game like that, because for people, because it's a car that's almost unusable until you get... Well, it is unusable until you get good.
So, really, a skill ceiling in a Nintendo game? Wild.
Mm. Hey, you're the like F-Zero GX earlier.
That's the hardest racing game I've ever played.
The hardest racing game ever made.
So fun, though. Mike, I know you're not a big score guy, but what would you give Kirby Air Ride, scale 1 to 10? Just out of curiosity, now that you played it, done your thing.
I'd give it a 6.
I kind of know it's not a game for 6. Wow.
I mean, it's still a very good game. It's just not... So I can't give it a really low score. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the game. It's just me. I didn't like it.
That's right in line with, like, what the scores actually are. Like, this was a very divisive game for the time.
Like, this isn't... There's no game-breaking bugs. There was no issues. The game wasn't unbalanced, like, extremely hard. There was nothing wrong with it. It just isn't a Mike game that I would normally play. I don't like racers. I've only done 2 racers now on the podcast, and one was Mega Man Battle and Chase. Not a good game, by the way. But
do you like this more or less than Battle and Chase?
I can't remember what I thought about Battle and Chase, but I'm pretty sure I like this way more. The Battle and Chase, I could beat it.
So much more or less than Secret of Mana.
Superman is way better, but that's a different game.
That's a different game.
The only racing game I really like that I played is Need for Speed The Run. I really like that game.
Dude, Burnout 3, if you ever do a Burnout 3 one, let's do Burnout 3, because, boy, that is the best racing game of all
time. Never played it.
You're not wrong.
I've actually never played Burnout 3 because racing games aren't my thing. Like, Split Second is a racing game that I've always wanted to play.
Split Second is great.
I have bought it multiple times and I've just never gotten around to it. Like, it is one of those games I think about because it's like, I remember I was so excited because I'm like, I like racing games like that. I also like a Grand Prix and I like it where I can feel like, okay, I'm going to beat all the races and move on. And again, this game didn't have that, so that lowers it on my...
Sure. That makes sense.
I appreciate that you humored me and took this on.
Well, of course. I didn't look up anything about this game before I just put it on. You talked about it. I'm like, of course.
I tried to tell you.
You did.
I tried to tell you.
You did tell me. I was like, yeah, whatever. I mean, you've been doing all the Kingdom Hearts with me and some other stuff. I'm like, yeah, you know, and I'm trying to put games that other people suggest into the schedule too, so it isn't just stuff that, like, I want to play. It's got to be things that, like, I've never played, like, okay, like, or things I just this show doesn't have enough Kirby.
Yeah, agree.
That probably won't change, but, like, it needs a little bit more Kirby.
And I think this is a great game to choose because this is one that I think has that untapped nostalgia still. Like, it's bubbling there, but it's not never been really addressed because there's never been a re-release.
Yeah, which just makes. in this day and age, especially with the GameCube being one of those systems that I feel is just very hard for people to play again, and people aren't really comfortable with emulating it. Like, I think people are really comfortable emulating, like, NES, Super, you know, Super Nintendo, all the real easy, simple cartridge stuff, but when you get to, like, the CDs, that's where a lot of people who might mess with emulation will fall off, because it is harder. Like, running, I mean, Dolphin's not bad, but you're running, like, a PCX, you're running PS2, you're playing with settings. And you have to find the best setting to make the game run sometimes. And I don't think some people can handle that, because I know I help people all the time with it.
Right.
Like, and just, you know, so I think just for a lot of people, this game is something that's just kind of lost to time because you can't easily get a hold of it.
Right.
And it's sad because this is, if you like racing games, this is probably a really good racing game.
I think it's a good children's game, too. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's so simple and so
There's nothing offensive about it. It's simple, but it's so focused on depth.
It's so focused on depth and like playability that like the simpleness is such an easy draw.
Yeah, for like, sure. And because it was a simple racer. I mean, there's a lot of complexity to it, but it was a simple racer. And I think that doesn't get enough. Like, a lot of people would enjoy this game if they were able to play it today.
Agreed.
So, and that makes me kind of like makes me a little sad sometimes because, like, I mean, I didn't have a great time with it, sure, because it's not my genre, you know, and that's not on the game. That's not on the game. That's not me. Pretty much. I'm very much of a mindset. If you can make the game accessible in some shape or form for people, because, I mean, yes, I know it's not that simple, but if it can make you money, do it, because people will appreciate it and you'll make money. So,
Nintendo.
Yeah, no, I know. That's why I emulate.
So with the GameCube being what it is, it sold less than 20 million units. That's worth pointing out, I'm pretty sure. Or maybe like 21, something like that. But
it doesn't, I mean, you also got to, like, you know, the PS2 era. And the PS2 era was, the PS2 dominated, so.
Yes. You know. Like, in a console where the highest selling game is Smash Melee with 7.5 million copies sold. Kirby sold over 1 million copies.
That's pretty good.
Like,
wow.
It was the 25th best selling game on the system.
Doesn't feel
it's
like
not
that
terrible. That's a pretty good stat, actually.
But not when your system doesn't sell enough in general and just.
Correct.
Kind of forgot.
Only 11 games on the system sold over 2 million copies.
Nintendo's tried to forget the GameCube partly, too. Like, they don't like to re-release GameCube games at all for some reason.
Which is stupid because it's probably one of the most nostalgia-based consoles now.
Well, it's also. Amazing fucking games. We've done a lot of GameCube exclusives on this podcast. We did Twin Snakes. We've done Star Fox Adventures. But, like,
Assault.
Oh yeah, we did do that. Was that because of you?
Yes. Well, because we did Adventures.
Oh yeah.
Nintendo, you could get the exclusive rights to releasing the best Soul Calibur game again.
Soul Calibur, dude. That game's great.
But this is their Dreamcast, right? This is their, like,
oh yeah.
It's an amazing system with a lot of identity, like a interesting philosophy uniting a lot of the games. A lot of Dreamcast games are also on GameCube.
I was about to say, yeah, a lot of shit jumped ship to the GameCube.
Yeah, Sonic DX.
Sonic Adventure 2 is an amazing game. I will say it again and again.
And there's one GameCube game. This is not locked to GameCube, but I bought it for GameCube at the time, so it will live in that. It will live in there in infamy. Sonic Heroes. It's a game that I have behind me, and I keep thinking, and I'm like, one day I need to play Sonic Heroes, and I have the opportunity to do that.
It's not a bad one.
I know, but I just...
It's not great.
It is the sequel to Adventure 2. It is the sequel to Adventure 2.
Yeah, it is Adventure 3. They just don't call it Adventure 3.
Someday I'm going to put it on this podcast. I also never played Sonic Adventure 1, which I need to remedy that.
Oh, yeah. I wish I had been on for the Adventure 2 episode, because... I have nothing but bad things to say about Adventure 1.
We did do Shadow the Hedgehog, though, on this podcast. Or
I had to drop out of that one, too, unfortunately.
Did you have to play it, unfortunately?
I played a bit of it.
Oh, okay. That's good that you stopped yourself from playing more of it, because, woo, that's a game.
What if Sonic butt gun?
Hey, that was the game that I got for Christmas that year, instead of Tony Hawk's American Wasteland.
Play it 10 times to get the true ending.
But there's like a ton of permutations.
Yeah, 300 something.
I don't think I got the true. I don't remember what I did. No, I might have gotten close because I played a lot of Shadow for the podcast. I don't remember if it was an episode. All right,
as much.
Since we're wandering, anything else about Kirby's Air Ride that we should mention before we go on to the few questions, comments, memories I have?
It sold better than Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles. but not as good. Well, about the same as Resident Evil Remake.
One great game and one shitty game.
How did it do against Resident Evil Zero?
Resident Evil Zero is the 28th best-selling game.
Wow.
So it's a few ranks down.
So better. Oh,
yes. Yeah. So it's sold better by, like, at least the one list I'm looking at, by, like, 0.10 million.
Zero's not good, though.
Is it, like, 100,000 units or something?
Never played Zero, but I know people that love Resident Evil talk shit about Zero. So,
and then the 29th best-selling one's Donkey Konga.
I still have my bongos. I had two sets and I got rid of one when I moved, but I still have one. I want to do Jungle Beat on this podcast at some point, but that's a game you have to play. I know one person that has legit hardware that has it. So
didn't Jungle Beat get a remake at some point? On the Wii it did. Yeah.
But it's probably not the same.
No, but you don't have to use the bongos.
But the bongos are fun.
That's fair.
All right, let's go to questions, comments, or memories. And first from the I Watched the Entire Orbital Tuber Replay from Andrew Burns. The reason this game is beloved is the city trial, but that's enough. I've spent hours running around those streets with my brother looking for the best ride and piecing together the legendary boards. From Brian Brown, I love this game, but hated how you press A to slow down, then boost simply because it was really hard to teach to my friends. It's kind of uninitiative at first. Once you know how to drive, the game was amazing. The city trial mode was peak. From the official Laser Time community, from Freddy Barreto, I'm pretty sure this is one of the GameCube games, along with Mario Kart, where you can have a LAN party if you somehow had multiple cubes with copies of the game and broadband adapters for a 16-player game.
Jesus.
I doubt that happened very often. And from the last group, from Giant Bomb, from Steve Lamb, I used to play this all the time with my cousin. It's great fun and fairly simple, allowing even my younger cousin to participate and have fun. It also had a ton of depth to it. If you really want to get into it, we played for hours at a time, usually accidentally finding all the special rides and secret areas. See, like, the experience is probably how you did, Nate. And that's, I think, the right way to play this game. Like, just play it with friends and beat the shit out of people and have fun. Unlike what I did. And from Tom Storm, excellent game. Love all the different modes. From Jarek Wilkinson, I mean, when I say this is still my favorite Kirby game of all time. I lost hour upon hour in city trial mode. Stuff like this makes me happy for people that they were really able to enjoy this game. Like, in hearing what you guys said, how much you were able to have fun. And I mean, it wasn't for me, but I'm glad that a lot of people love this game.
It's great.
All right. And I do have one code to give away because I have codes. So let's see here. The Steam code that you will get for this is Flynn, Son of Crimson. I forget what it is, but it looks cool. So in the Steam code is E9360CWIA0IQANB. That is the Steam code for Flynn, Son of Crimson. All right. And then we'll go to Shelf Stacker Box. And Dominic, why don't you go first, since this was your pick?
Oh, it's going on the shelf. This is, I guess, among my favorite GameCube games. I would still probably give it like an 8 out of 10, not like a perfect score or anything, but in terms of GameCube games, it's one of the best.
All right. And Phoebe?
I'm putting this on the shelf. I have extremely good memories of this game, and even later today, I'm going out. I'm going to check my local game store to see if they have a copy.
All right. And Nate?
Yeah. I mean, you know, Dominic said it best with 8 out of 10. You know, if I had a GameCube, it would be a game that I would absolutely pop out anytime people come over. So it's going on the shelf, and I'm proud to display it.
All right. And I'll go last on purpose. I'm going to put this in the box. Good game. Plays fine, but it is not a Mike game. It is not my genre. It is not my style. It didn't make me want to play Kirby games again, and it made me think about it like, maybe I should put Kirby's Adventure and play that again for this podcast as a mini. And it really made me go, maybe it's time. But, which is a good thing, because there should be more Kirby on this show, but we do strange stuff sometimes. But no, it was still a good time, and I'm really glad I got to finally experience it for the first time, and I got to see why people love this game. So I am very happy for that fact, but it's going in the box because I didn't really have a great time, and it's something I will never touch again in my life.
So, yeah. Fair.
But again, I'm not the party gamer. Like, I can't, I mean, some of my friends will try to like, oh, hey, you know, we're going to play this. And I'm like, that's nice. I have no interest.
At least you accept that you're the problem.
Well, I mean, I'm not into that. Like, I mean, at this point, because of this podcast, I've met so many people on Discord, or not Discord, met so many people, and we have a Discord. Please use our Discord. See the link in the show notes. Like, I mean, there are people out there who are like, oh, hey, let's go play a game. And there are people who would play multiplayer with me. I could buy Helldivers 2 and jump in with Joe and play that. But I have zero interest in playing anything online and playing anything with other people. Like, I just want to play my single player games at my own pace. Like, I even thought about Twitch streaming, but at the same time, like, well, then I have to have a schedule, and I don't want a schedule. I want it to be like, I play when I have time. I might, like, Steam Deck. I'll sit on the couch when my wife is watching TV and just play my Steam Deck, or I'll take it with me when I take her to an appointment or something. I'll just sit in the car, like, gaming for me is just whenever. And let's say she's getting ready and putting her makeup on. Okay, I got 20 minutes. We're going to play a game for 20 minutes. Like, that is how I game.
No, Mike, join us.
I never really do hour-long like sessions where you just sit and game for like 2-3 hours. I just don't do it anymore, unfortunately. I have edited for that long before. But not, like, I don't know, my life is just, I just can't do that. Like, I don't know how people can sit and just play an online game for like 3 hours straight when they have a partner and kids around them. I don't get that. I don't have a kid around me, but I have a partner, and she will not be pleased if, like, she accepts the podcast. There are times where she's like, you're recording again? So, yes, like today. But, all right. And Dominic, where can people find you at?
You can find me in the Overblood Facebook group. You can find me on This Ways Podcast, which is on YouTube. And you could probably find me on the street somewhere, someplace, if you know where to look. Pass.
Maybe.
Sure.
Oh, and I almost forgot, but next week's game is going to be Secret of Mana, finally, which has almost been on this podcast like 3 times, but I kept taking it off the schedule for reasons. So that's what you can hear about next week, is Secret of Mana. And Phoebe, where can we find you at?
Hi, you can find me on YouTube and Twitch as the Let's Play Princess. Thankfully, I'm not one of the bad ones. God, I hope not. And you can also find me on Twitter as the LP Princess.
What's Twitter? I thought it's called X now.
Oh my God. You know what? We went a podcast recording without you bringing up my job, so I'm happy.
Oh, yeah, you are correct. I've done it too much to you. I wanted to leave it alone. But you didn't open the door, but I won't make it. But no, I always got to make the joke about Twitter, because when you type in Twitter, it still goes to Twitter.
As it should.
Yes, it does. As it should.
So until he changes that, I will always make fun of him, because he should have never named it X, just left it the way it was. Brand names are a thing, you idiot.
Okay. Yes.
And Nate, did you have anything to plug?
I did not, but I am on Facebook, and of course that Overblood group is home for me.
That is fair. That's how I met majority of the people that are on this podcast.
Yes, sir.
Not everybody. I met Phoebe through Twitter. I used to use Twitter still.
I think you mean X.
God damn it. I don't use it anymore. Once they put in the stupid cap of how many tweets you could see, I was just like, this is stupid. And I just stopped using it. And then it also became even more and more bots than it had any right to be before, even though he got rid of them, in quotations. I think he got more. But, like, I just don't. Yeah, I hate Twitter. I have Threads. I have Blue Sky. I don't really use either other than I post stuff for the podcast. I don't, like, scroll through them or talk to people. I just use Facebook and Discord now. But yeah, it makes me sad. Twitter was kind of cool. I was enjoying Twitter when I got into it until it became a cesspool because of Elon Musk. All right, if you enjoyed this episode, there's over 600 other episodes of this podcast. You can find everything we do on Podbean. You can just type in a name and see what comes up. Type in Batman. Type in Kingdom Hearts. You will see our whole series of that. Like, we do all sorts of things. So just go type in stuff. You never know what you're going to find. We've covered tons of games on this show, like Star Fox. You will see a whole list of Star Fox stuff. The only other Kirby thing we've done will be, there'll be a link in the show notes of this episode. So if you want to go listen to that, go check that out. You can hear a long time ago opinion on a Kirby game, because it was like 3 years ago, I think. I did that. It's been a bit. If you want to support the show, we do have Patreon. It's a little dog. You vote in our Patreon poll. We have one or two every month. So you will see a link in the show notes to that. So definitely go support the show and vote and help affect the show. We do have a Discord, as I mentioned a couple times. Please join our Discord. You will see a link in the show notes to that. I'm always happy to have new people come. Even if you don't want to chat, just join and make my numbers go up and make me happy. And you might, maybe you'll be interested to chat at some point. Just join. And I want to give a shout out to my awesome intro and outro, courtesy of Helena at Hell Hasphere. You can follow her on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitch. You will see a link to her link tree in the show notes. And I want to give a shout out to my buddy Bill Tucker. Starts his own podcast, Gamer Looks at 40. He's currently going through all the Final Fantasy stuff, so definitely go check him out. He's been doing that for months. And I want to give a shout out to Nomads of Fantasy and the 10 Domain Podcast, two of the shows I listen to and good friends with the hosts. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Threads, Blue Sky, TikTok, YouTube, audio only, but we can be found on all the different things. And that's everything I need to say, so we will see you guys all next time. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Hiya.